Okay, let's start. My name is Daniel Kieper. I work for Oracle and I am GRAP upstream maintainer. And today I want to present project status update as I do it early at this conference. So at the, I want to discuss three topics more or less. At the beginning, I would like to discuss what happened during last year in the project, and also later I will discuss what is happening right now. And also I want to show some statistics and show you some numbers about the patches, comparison between what is happening in the GRAP upstream and also what's happening in the GRAP Fedora, and I will comment this. So what was happened during last year? So we introduced a few new features. First feature which went into the GRAP after 2.12 release was EOFS support. We also introduced a mechanism to disable command line interface and menu editing from the GRAP when you want to disallow users to make some modifications to the GRAP CFG or something like that. This is done when you generate the GRAP GRAP image, and if you enable disable if you turn on the disable CLI flag during generating the image, then you will not be able to do anything. Even the rescue menu is disabled in this situation, so user is not able to do anything with the CFG or command line editing or anything else. Another very important feature is CoreNX support, which went in UEFI platforms. Probably you know that currently Microsoft enforces NX, let's say, on new binaries which will be signed by them. So it means that in general the PE binaries has to have special flags that says that binary understands how the code and the data is split and how it should be mapped in memory, and then during the load the firmware marks the data as an X, and of course code is not writable. So at this point, most binaries which are signed by Microsoft have these properties. The initial thing which had this property was the shim, because it is the first thing which is run by firmware. But we are also forced to introduce this thing in the GRAP. What it means that CoreNX support is in the GRAP? It means that first of all the code which is loaded and executed, I mean modules, into the GRAP is properly mapped in memory, so code is not writable, and data, of course, data pages are marked as non-executable. At this point, there is no mechanism currently in the GRAP which does this for the kernel images. I will discuss this later, because the rest of this thing will be is currently under development. Also, we got SBAT support for ELF files. This is a as you may know, this is a revocation mechanism, which is an improvement for EFI revocation in general. It gives us less flexibility, and also it is much better than DBX, which requires more and more memory in EFI to work. So this solves the problem with memory constraints in EFI. Also, we finally got automatic disk unlock with TPM 2 on EFI and PowerPC platforms. So we are able to use SRTM to decrypt boot partition and boot the system directly from the GRAP. We improved the detection of fonts during during configure. We are also able to load TTF fonts and OTF fonts currently during the byte process. Still working on the forward porting downstream patches to upstream. We get more people to working on this thing. So it is quite nice thing which is happening right now. Of course, we are doing fixes, cleanups, and documentation updates because we understand that it is important, and some things are not clear in current documentation. And we think that it should be improved. And at this point, if new feature is introduced, I am as a maintainer, if something is quite complicated, it requires explanation in the documentation, and ask a developer to do that. Also, we are writing new tests for various components. For example, automatic disk unlock with TPM support also went into the branch together with some recurrent tests. No, and of course, we introduced many fixes and cleanups to the project. So what is happening right now? As I said, we introduced the core and X support to the grub. Right now we are working on the kernel side of things, but this thing will be implemented in the shim. So shim will provide a special loader protocol which will place load image and start image functions from the EFI firmware, and will provide all mechanism to first of all load the kernel and also properly map the pages for the code and for the data. So we will rely on the shim to provide this mechanism mechanism to the grub. I know that the if I'm not mistaken, there is an implementation in Ubuntu which allows you to do that using only the grub, but it requires a separate code in the grub, and we think that it is not a role of the grub doing that. Additionally, this loader protocol will provide on secure boot platforms with secure boot enabled verification for the kernel images. So this functionality will be provided by the shim itself. Trench boot support for Intel AMD x86 architectures. Currently, it is under development. I will have a presentation in a half an hour about that together with my colleague about this, so I don't want to dive deeper into this. Also, we are working on BLS and UKI support for the grub. This support will be based on the Fedora patches. We took Fedora patches, and we based on all developments on this. Also, my colleague is currently adding the UKI support to this. We are discussing this internally and expect the patches in the following weeks appearing on the grub develop mailing list. Also in the queue is waiting for review appended signature secure boot support for PowerPC. We are also together with Vladimir working on the including new libgcrypt in the grub. Unfortunately, this is quite complicated because current version in the grub is very old, so happening quite long, but unfortunately we're busy with other stuff. I hope that this year will happen, because I think that we are quite far with this. And next code freeze and grub release is planned in the following months. So let's move on to this stuff. As you may know, unfortunately the grub, due to its history, has a lot of downstream patches. The first number shows you how many custom patches are currently in a in a given Fedora list in comparison to the upstream list. The second number shows you how many patches were backported from the grab upstream project. And the third number shows you how many new patches were introduced into the downstream, which are custom and currently not in the in the upstream. And the last number shows you a total number of custom patches which are introduced over the years. So as you can see, situation is quite difficult, but when you look at grab 2.06, you can see that situation currently is improving, because the third column shows you that the number of new patches, custom patches, which goes into the downstream are going to zero. This is our goal. And I think that this work is going in good direction. One thing which currently we agreed with between upstream and downstream project is that new implementation of the loader protocol and in general mechanism which loads the kernel in and executes the kernel from the grab, which currently is upstream, will be taken by the downstream project. So at this point we will not have the various different kinds of Linux loaders in different downstream projects and also upstream. So here the number of custom patches will be, I think, strongly reduced. But also we are working on reducing number of custom patches in other areas. So I think that's it from my side. Do you have any questions with regards to the grab project? Yep.
Regarding those numbers, how does it work? So the for grab to 50, the first column increases, but the new patches column decreases. So how does it?
Yes. The question is how the numbers in this slide works. So the number of patches which are the first column shows the number of patches which currently in a given release in comparison to the upstream, but the number of new patches is the number of new patches which were introduced between, for example, let's see Fedora 39 and 40. So in comparison to Fedora 39 and 40, we introduced zero new custom patches. And for example, in comparison for Fedora 38, between 30 and 39, we introduced just one new patch. This is reference to the previous release of the Fedora. Excuse me? This one shows how many patches were backported from, for example, Fedora taken 2.06 at Fedora 34, but also the development of upstream was going forward. And sometimes folks from Fedora think that some features, fixes, should be introduced from the upstream project to the 0.06 release in the downstream. So they are thinking backporting some of the patches from the upstream project.
Okay, so this number is about the patches that all already the upstream and they were
introduced. Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. Yep.
Could we have this process reducing the number of patches to backport by providing some point releases? I mean, today Grub is providing
The problem is, yes, I know we were asked for this many times, but due to lack of resources, it is very very difficult. At this point, we also have problems with releasing main releases. So at this point, we are not able to focus on maintaining, for example, 2.06 and adding backporting patches to the upstream. I know this is painful, but certainly we will be working on solving that as soon as possible. Okay, you were first, I think. This is the new part. The question is about the third column, new patches. So new patch means that it is made by downstream project, not provided to the upstream, or it will be later provided. If I understand the question, you're asking to speed up the process of moving the patches from the downstream project to the upstream as soon as possible. I think that it happens at this point more often. So there is improvement here, and as you can see, the number of new patches, new patches developed by the downstream project, and which were not provided to upstream. So it is improving. Right now, in general, as I can see, projects introduce some patches, especially simple patches, almost immediately provide this patch to the upstream, and we try to take this patch as soon as possible. Okay, sorry.
Whenever we test grub, what kind of things cannot be tested within a VM, and what kind of things should be able to be tested but cannot be tested within a VM currently?
To be honest, I do not work. The question is what can be tested in NVM and what kind of features cannot be tested in VM, right? So to be honest, I do not work very closely with the test infrastructure, so I'm not able to, I think Vladimir could say something more about that. In general, as Vladimir said, we try to test as much as possible without VM, but there are some features which should be tested in the VM. In general, this infrastructure was improved a lot by Glenn Washburn, if I'm not mistaken. So it is much better than it was earlier, right now. And more tests can be run without a VM.
And also some platforms that we support, there is no VM for them.
Okay, one minute left, so one last question. Okay, go ahead. Vladimir posted a patch. But in general, it is for the system which do not provide, a firmware hooks to load the binary, load the files directly from the file system. Do you have a use case for this?
Yes.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Okay, but is it mapped as an NVMe stuff or something like that?
Yeah, so it's NVMe disk, so I need
a... Okay. Okay.